As we continue in the Advent season, knowing that Advent means that someone significant is going to come, that someone significant is going to appear. As I think about that, and last week we talked about the idea of hope, that with Jesus came hope, but when Jesus comes back, there will be hope. For us this morning, as you can tell from our responsive reading and from the video, our subject is love. I think that's so important. When we think in terms of love, John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for others." You know, the fact is, Jesus did come at Christmas time as a baby, but the reason he came as a baby was to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to die on the cross for our sins. And so we don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. The scriptures call us then who follow Christ and who make him the Lord of our lives, that we are the sons and daughters of God. That makes us family. If we are sons and daughters of the same Father, then that makes us brothers and sisters. As I think about love, and I was thinking about it this week, there's some great songs. I read a list of the top 50 songs in history that included the word love. As you can imagine, the Beatles had a couple of those. One of them was "Love Me Do." One of them is "All You Need Is Love." I think there certainly are things that you need outside of love, but I would tell you that love is a key ingredient in everything we do. Queen sang a song some of you will probably be familiar with entitled "This Crazy Little Thing Called Love." I would tell you this, I think love is so important to us. It's not a crazy little thing, it's a crazy big thing. The fact is, love does all kinds of things in our lives. It helps us to get over things we should get over. It helps us to understand things we should understand. It allows us to celebrate with people on a greater level. As I was thinking about the fact that we are sons and daughters of God, that we're family, you often hear me refer to our church as the first family, First Baptist Church family. I often refer to us as the first family, that I think we are in this together. And the fact is, there are places where you must give me grace and I must give you grace. No one frustrates us like family does, but no one do we love more than family. That's why I think it's important for us in our first family to practice love amongst each other. As I was thinking this week about acronyms and just thinking about love, many of us know acronyms, words that each letter of the word stands for something significant. Many of us like M&Ms. Now, whether you're a plain M&M person or a peanut M&M person, the fact is most of us just call them M&Ms, and we have no idea that that's an acronym for Mars and Murray's. That's the two people who came up with this little chocolate candy covered with a hard candy shell that melts in your mouth, not in your hands. We live in a world that is so often uses acronyms, especially as we are text messaging each other. You tell me, what does BTW stand for? By the way, we all know that. What about LOL? What about TTYL? Talk to you later. We all know what those things mean. It just makes it simpler when we have acronyms. Many of you may not know this, but WD-40, how many of you have ever used WD-40? Do you have any idea why it's named that? It's water, who said that? Water displacement. I should count on my automotive guys to have known that, you too. It stands for water displacement, and they figured it out on the 40th try. WD-40. It's fascinating when we think of those. You know this for me. I'm a sports fan, and I'm especially a college football fan. I have a guy a couple of years ago. He was coaching at Western Michigan. It was kind of a small little school, but they did so well. I think they ended up 12-0 or something like that on the season. And then he got hired at Minnesota. They've never really been that great at Minnesota, but they are really doing well. And there was a show on TV at the time that just kind of followed through the daily life of a guy named P.J. Fleck. He's one of the great up-and-coming young coaches. He is Mr. Enthusiasm, Mr. Optimism, Mr. Charisma. That's him. He has a thing that he calls row the boat, that he wants everybody in the boat and everybody doing something. We're all doing it together. But if one guy rows too hard, it messes up the whole thing, but we're all in it together. And I read one of the greatest acronyms from P.J. Fleck I have ever read. Matter of fact, certain times I write things down and I file them away so that I can remember them. But from the moment I read it, it just stuck with me. And it was the acronym for family. Here it is. Forget about me. I love you. That's a pretty good acronym for family. Forget about me. I love you. We all have a tendency to be selfish at different times. But when we put others in front of ourselves, it makes all the difference. And the thing that allows us to be able to do that is love, which would be impossible without God. The scriptures tell us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Dear friends," it could say, "Dear family, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." You see, I think hope is a big thing. And the fact is, none of us stand a chance of exhibiting the hope that God has for us and that God desires for us to exhibit to others without God in our lives. So I have three questions for you this morning. Question number one, is love a suggestion or is love a command? Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." So who is it that we're supposed to love? That verse covers it. The fact is, that verse covers all of the loves that we're to have. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think we love God. I think we're supposed to love each other, and we're supposed to love ourselves. Now, there's a fine line in that loving ourselves, because at some point you become selfish. But at some point, if you don't love yourself enough, you can't be confident to be who God created you to be. And the fact is, my preacher used to preach a sermon when I was a kid growing up that God don't make no junk. Now, I know grammatically that's not even close to correct. But I want you to know this. We all know that we should love God, and we all know that we should love others. But he says to love them as we love ourselves. I want you to know you're a masterpiece. God made you exactly the way he wants you to be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, "Love your enemies and pray for them." John chapter 13, verse 34 says, "Love one another as I have loved you." That's a pretty big command, to love each other as Jesus loves us. That's pretty significant. It's huge. It's the greatest love that any of us have ever seen exampled. But when we think in terms of his love, a suggestion or a command, the Bible makes it easy for us. In John chapter 15, verse 12, it says this, "This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you." You see, the fact is, we don't get to pick and choose whether we love. We're commanded to love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, "You will know them by their love." The scriptures tell us that over and over and over. It is a repeated command in the scriptures. It's not a suggestion that we love one another. Even in the difficult times, it's still a command. So it's pretty definitive that love is a command, not a suggestion. So I would ask you this, is love something you have, or is love something you do? That would bring us to question number two. Is love a noun or is love a verb? When I think of it in terms of a noun, it becomes a problem if it's only a noun, because if love is only a noun, people don't know if you do or don't. But when you think of love in terms of a verb, it's very evident whether you do or whether you don't. You see, we can talk about having love, but people would not really know. But when we talk about giving love, it's very evident and very obvious to everyone around us. Whether they like us, whether they don't like us, whether they're a friend or whether they're an enemy, love is one of those things that just conquers all. But it does that in the sense that it's a verb, that it's not just something we have, a noun, but it's a verb in the sense that it's something we do. If you have love that's a noun and you have love that's a verb, it will not go unnoticed. It cannot go unnoticed. Because the fact is, the more hate there is in our world, the more love will stand out. I'm just like you. I continue to think at different times, hey, can we have more hate? Can we have more discouragement? Can we have more arguments in our culture than what we presently have? And I can't help but think you think like I do, that it can't get worse. And yet every time you turn on the TV, every time you turn on the radio, it's just more and more and more hate and division. And the fact is, hate divides and love combines. It's amazing, but a few years ago, it seems like our political system just went south with the idea of hate. That it really didn't matter about the issue, it was a matter of where you stood on one side or other the other. It just mattered which party you belonged to, and it automatically defined the things that you must hate about others. It's pretty spectacular, but that's even infiltrated our everyday culture. We talk about it in terms of sports. We talk about it in terms of relationships. We talk about it in terms of teachers. We talk about it in terms of principles. We talk about it in terms of bosses. But the fact is, love unites. Love combines. But you need to know this. When we think of love as a noun or love as a verb, you do need to know this. Hate can be both a noun and a verb. And what you need to know about love and hate, one place where they are very similar is that they are both contagious. You see, the fact is, when we love, it's easy for people to love back. But when we hate, it's easy for people to hate back. The fact is, what's really difficult is when they hate for us to love. But that, remember, is not a suggestion, it's a command. God gives us the command to love one another as He loves us. When you think in terms of Jesus, I noticed on the video it says, help us to love more than the 70 times 7. Now, I'm not real good with math, but I understand 70 times 7 is 490. The idea in the scriptures of 70 times 7 is that 7 was the number of completion. 7 was the number of perfection. So not just 7 times 7, but 70 times 7. You do it to perfection. That's how God did it for us. I don't know about you, but I sure am glad that Jesus didn't cut my forgiveness off, that He didn't cut my love off at 490 mess-ups. Sometimes it takes me 2 or 3 days to mess up 490 times. Sometimes it takes me months, but sometimes it's just days. Aren't you glad that Jesus forgives and loves more than 70 times 7? Boy. Now, if we're going to love like Him, how does that tell us that we should behave towards others? Even those who do what we don't like. Remember, that's what sin is to God. It's those things He don't like. So when others do things to us that we don't like, the command is love. It's easy to love when people love us, but it's tough to love when we think in terms of the fact that they don't do what we want them to do. So is love a noun or a verb? The answer to the question is yes. It is something we have to do, and it is something that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says this, "For Christ's love compels us." For Christ's love compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, if one died for all, then all died. You see, the ultimate idea of love is that we're willing to sacrifice for others. And it takes sacrifice to forgive. It takes sacrifice to take yourself off the throne. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave us the perfect example. Question number three and the last one. Is love wired into us or is love learned? Is love something that just happens at salvation? That when we give our lives to Christ, that He just zings us with love and we got all we ever need and there's no more issues? Or is it something we develop? On the wired inside, I would say this in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and one of love and of a sound mind." So the fact is, God does wire it into us. God does wire love into us. He pours it into us and He gives it to us. But I would also tell you that it's learned. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not self-seeking. It is not rude." It goes down the list. You've heard me say it before. When you think in terms of love, are you a person who has love and are you a person who exhibits love? If you want to put that to the test, go this afternoon to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and everywhere it says love, put your name. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not self-seeking. Love is not rude. Love keeps no record of wrong. How do you do in that? Man, even though God gives it to us, just speaking first person, that's difficult for us to do. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Pursue love." 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14 says, "Your every action must be done with love." I talked to the kiddos a minute ago that everything we do is an act of worship to God. You want to know how to make it a pleasing act of worship to Him? Do it with love. If you're baking cookies, do it with love. If you're mowing someone's lawn, do it with love. If you're doing the dishes, do it with love. If you're doing homework, whoever thought of the idea of doing your homework with love for your teacher? Because it's a lot easier to grade homework that's 100 than it is to grade homework that's a 65. Whoever thought of doing your job with love? Because we all stand a better chance of doing the job that our bosses want us to do if we do it with love. Everything we do, love should be an ingredient. I do believe it's wired in, but I also believe it's learned. I've told you before, when I was a senior in high school, I had played baseball from the time of T-ball all the way through until I got to my senior year. My senior year, I had a basketball buddy that he had done the same thing, played basketball all the way through. And we decided as seniors, we were a little ticked off at how things were going in our individual sports. And so we decided we'd do something different, and we both went and played tennis. For the first time ever. Now, if you can imagine what that was like for a guy who had been taught his whole life, hit it as hard as you can, anywhere you want. And all of a sudden, you're playing tennis, and you can't just wail it out of the park, but you got to also hit it inside the lines. And our tennis coach used to say this, like many coaches say, "Practice makes." But I remember our tennis coach repeated to me over and over and over and over, "Perfect practice makes perfect." You see, the fact is, if you practice it wrong, when you play it, it's going to be wrong. But if you practice it right, when you play it, it'll be right. James and I both ended up on the varsity team that year by the time we got to spring. But I'm going to tell you, it took a lot of practice. It took a lot of learning. For those of you who are tennis players, 15, 30, 40 is not how you count. But it is interesting. It's 15, 30, 40, love. Practice makes perfect. He taught me more than the game of tennis. The fact is, love is given. It's wired in us. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's wired in you. But I'd also tell you this, it's learned. You got to practice it. You got to work on it. For those of you that are over 50, I would take the advice. For those of you that are younger than 50, I can tell you, you're going to still be working on it at 50. I ain't got it figured out yet. But I would tell you this, perfect practice makes perfect. See, the fact is, love and Jesus are really like a magnet that you put to steel. If you just touch them together, over time, the steel itself will become magnetized. It'll take on the characteristic of magnetism. Other pieces of steel will then be attracted to it, and they'll stick to it like it was a magnet. That's how we're supposed to be. Over time, as we put love into practice, we just become more like Jesus. And the scriptures tell us about Jesus that if he be lifted up, he will do what? Draw all men to himself. You see, the scriptures say that if we will lift Jesus up, people will just be magnetized to him. I think that's our job, to exhibit that love, to put it into practice in our lives. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "Now the end of all things is near, therefore be serious and disciplined in prayer. Above all, maintain an intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins." That's important for family. The more time you spend together, the more love you'll develop. But the more time you spend together, the more love you'll need. That's just how we operate. Proverbs chapter 21:21 says, "The one who pursues righteousness and faithful love, the one who pursues righteousness and faithful love will find life, righteousness, and honor." As we go through the Advent season, there is no greater love than the love that God has for us. There is no greater example of that love than Jesus and how he lived his life, how he related to others. The fact is, love is a command. Love is both a noun and a verb. Love is both wired in and it's learned. It's practiced. It's a combination. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity." You know what people need in a world that is constantly divided over every issue? Unity. That's the thing that people are missing today. The thing that people are searching for is unity. You stop and think about it. The devil's doing everything he can to divide. Sometimes it's hard to decipher exactly what it is God wants us to do. Sometimes it's easy because we get a simple command that says love one another. But I would also tell you this. Sometimes in those times when you're having a hard time figuring out what it is that God wants you to do, stop and look at the situation and back off of it a little bit and check and see what you think the desire of the devil would be. And then do the opposite. It's pretty obvious the desire of the devil in our world is to divide. He's out to divide political parties. He's out to divide parents and children. He's out to divide husbands and wives. He's out to divide siblings. He's out to divide ethnicities and races. He's out to divide according to socioeconomic status. He's out to divide according to education. It's interesting, but in every situation, what the devil is trying to do is divide. So for us, as Christ followers, it makes it easy. Our job is to unite. And there is no greater glue than love. If you're here this morning and you feel like you're on the outside looking in, I want you to know you're in a place where we'll love you. But I want you to know even more than that, God loves you. But the Bible does say you have to choose to love God, to give your life to Him. If you're in a place this morning that maybe is just one of those tough times of life, the devil's telling you that you caused it yourself, that there's nothing you can do, that nothing's going to change. It's always been like this. It's always going to be like this. And I want you to know that's true except for one thing, love. And I want you to know that if God has said to you, now's the time, today is the day, to get that issue straight, when the devil tells you, don't do it, I want you to know God says yes. God's love is greater than anything you know, anything you've experienced, or anything you've done. You just have to choose Him. But know that love covers a multitude of sins. You be faithful this morning to what God's called you to do. Our staff will be here at the front. If we can pray with you, we'd love to pray with you. If you need to just come and pray on your own, do that. But this morning, you listen to what God says, not to what the devil says. And God said, love covers a multitude of sins. Not only that, but we'll love you too, because we're family. Forget about me. I love you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lesson that we have this morning on love. Lord, I thank you not only for the lesson in the scriptures, but even more for the example that you gave us. Lord, I pray that you give us strength. Lord, it's a struggle sometimes to love. And I pray that you'd help us to love. Lord, for any that are here this morning who feel unloved because of present circumstances or past activities, I pray you help them to know this morning that you love them, that we love them, that you want what's best, and we just want to get to be a part of the celebration. I pray that you'd help us each one to be faithful to where you've spoken to us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.